News Radio 600 KOGO, thank you for joining us. Our continuing election coverage throughout the day. Of course, when the polls close tonight at 8 o'clock, all of our wall-to-wall coverage from Golden Hall at Election Central. Cliff Albert, Roger Hedgecock, Phil Farrar, and our entire KOGO news team. I will be heading up, in fact, flying up to Los Angeles right after the show today at the behest of Governor Schwarzenegger to emcee what he's bold enough to call his victory rally. Now, he may indeed help some of the downstate candidates and some of the other Republicans on the state ballots. We'll see how that goes, since all experts are saying that they think Schwarzenegger should win big time, so hence the victory rally from Los Angeles. So I'll head up there for that. We'll do some special reports from L.A. as well, in addition to juggling all the adventures, the flexible excitement that happens on such evenings here in the Golden State of California. And it could be that if Arnold has strength enough to pull some of those Republicans along with him, that's going to befuddle some of the experts across America. They've already decided this election is just done. You know, Bush ought to pack it in. The Senate, if we don't get it this time, we'll get it next time. It's going to be under Democrat control. The House will be almost like 1994. I mean, they've been dancing around, as someone said, in the end zone before the touchdown. We will see. The reports are out today, as you've been hearing through the day, the charges of disenfranchisement and confusion over the Diebold machines and so forth. It's going to be a very interesting evening. I'm going to stick to my prediction. Republicans are going to do better than the experts are saying, and sticking my neck out here about Republicans holding the House by a hair, and then 2000's challenges with Al Gore will look like a cakewalk compared to what will happen in court. Now, somebody who knows a whole lot more than I do about all of this, Tom DeLay, the former majority leader, kind of watching on the sidelines here, even though they still demonize him as if he's in the middle of the action. He joins us at our newsline on News Radio 600 KOGO. Hey, Tom, good to talk to you.
Well, hello, Mark. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing? You feeling cool, calm, collected here watching all the fray?
No, I'm nervous as if I was running again. I've just got butterflies. This is such a close race. It's like my own campaign.
Well, and in some respects, they think it is your campaign. There's one spot, I don't know if you've seen it, there's so many running across the country, one spot that Francine Busby is running in desperation here to try to stick it to Brian Bilbray in the 50th, that very contentious district, as you know, that Cunningham used to have. So they start with Cunningham going to jail, and they have Abramoff in there, and they have a picture of you looking very bleak. And then they say, well, the grand jury is investigating Brian Bilbray, which is a real stretch, and then saying that, you know, we don't need another congressman going to jail, implying, of course, for people who aren't paying attention, that you're talking to us from jail, which you're not.
No, as most people know, I've been indicted on laws that don't exist in Texas. And I've never been found guilty of anything, nor have I done anything to be found guilty of. So, but they've done a very good job of demonizing me and others. Obviously, Duke Cunningham and others helped them do that. But I think the biggest untold story right now is and will be told in the next two or three days, is how great the conservative radio talk show hosts have done in countering the liberal national media and the Washington media. It's been amazing.
Well, you know, they think that we're all tools of Ken Melman.
Well, that's true. I wish Ken Melman and others, not that I'm criticizing the way they did the 72-hour program and turning out the road. In fact, it looks like it's working. But if you just listen to the conservative talk show, you could have put together a really good, aggressive campaign that's on the offense, not on the defense.
Well, they probably heard some of that when a few of us went back to the White House a couple of weeks ago. I was there, and we broadcast that live. And again, the thing I noticed was this optimism that certainly wasn't being conveyed across the rest of the country. And you know how those gatherings are. If there's not real optimism, you would see it. I mean, you would see it off the mic. You'd see it when people kind of let their hair down behind the scenes. They were just very, very focused and feeling like, hey, this is something that we're not going to give up on here, and we feel that we got a better ground operation in terms of getting people out, going door-to-door, getting the early registration and so forth. And that's really the crux, Tom DeLay, isn't it? When you look at how the left and the Democratic leadership try to demonize you or anybody who's effective, if you're effective, if you do what they used to do and have the old machine politics exemplified by Cook County and Mayor Daley back, the seamy side of all of that, if you do it by the book and you're efficient, though, if you do it in the way that you got into redistricting in Texas, to the victor go the spoils, when you do it better than they used to do it, they go, well, that just let's cry foul and try to sue somebody and drag someone into court.
Yeah, that's all unethical and immoral to beat them at their own game. Exactly right. But I got to tell you, Mark, it's been a great ride, and it's been amazing to watch the Democrats try to run and win a campaign without having without telling the American people who they are. They started this campaign by creating the so-called culture of corruption. Unfortunately, some Republicans helped them out in that, but you had Democrats doing the same thing. I mean, William Jefferson in Louisiana took a $100,000 bribe, and he's going to be reelected.
No, that's because he put it in the freezer, so maybe they thought that was just good, sensible preservation.
Exactly right. And then they just constantly trying to hide behind the war, but nothing positive, nothing that they have positive for the future, no agenda, no plans. They've done pretty well covering up who they really are. But I think in the last couple of weeks, people are starting to come back and realize and understand who they are, and that's why the numbers are moving towards us right now.
Do you think it's going to be in time, or is it one of these cases like like a football game? If only there was a fifth quarter, we would have had more time to get the thing done. You know,
I don't know that we're going to know that. I mean, that's why I said when I first came on, this is so close. There's 20 races out there. They're within the margin of error. It's all about turnout. We all know that, and we have a better turnout mechanism than the Democrats do. And I'm seeing the body language on the Democrats that are being interviewed today. They're worried too. So it's going to be a very interesting evening.
Tom DeLay with us here on a Newsline, on News Radio 600 KOGO, and of course covering all the interesting afternoon and evening right here on KOGO with Fox News on KOGO throughout Southern California. About the scandal issue, I was talking to somebody, one of our in-house experts earlier today, and we were saying, if this was just about Iraq and just about the war on terror, it'd be a whole lot simpler. But you do have, the Randy Cunningham scandal, and you've got Ney in Ohio, and some of these other issues, and certainly they keep trying to play your challenges there in Texas. If it wasn't for those scandals, if you will, those or lapses of judgment, or what do we call? I mean, obviously with Cunningham, it was a colossal parade of horrible things, and I feel sorry for him as a friend, but he deserves his punishment. But still, that culture of corruption. I mean, they were saying that, and it seems like along the way, without some kind of a governing system on the ethics side of things, every time one of those cases would come up, I would just wince, thinking, man, this is going to add too much fuel to the other side. Do you think that if we were scandal-free, if there was no cloud, whether it's over you or some of these other cases that are certainly a lot more dramatic than what Ronnie Earl's trying to do to you, that it would have been less close, less nail-biting?
Well, I got to tell you, to be honest about it, there are 9 races right now that we're probably going to lose because of scandal. Three sex cases, starting with Foley and what's going on in Florida, and others. So,
of course, Foley quit. I mean, what's weird is his name's on the ballot, right?
Exactly.
That's right. Because it was there, they printed it. It's too bad. So, if you want to vote for Negron, you have to vote for Foley.
True, but when you handicap it and give them 9 seats, it's pretty tough. I do not think that is transferred to other races, to be honest with you. I think it may have an impact here and there, but I don't think in other congressional districts this is having an impact. I think what's having an impact is the Republicans couldn't get their message out. I know as hard as the radio talk show tried to help and talked about the opposition, that helped a little bit, but this race should have been more than just the war. The Democrats created the issue of the war. We should have been talking about other issues. I mean, there are great issues out there, tax cuts, immigration, other issues.
Well, the economy, the performance of the economy, with full employment, essentially.
Exactly right. To be honest with you, I haven't seen a lot of Republican races highlighting and emphasizing the economy.
Tom DeLay with us here on News Radio 600 KOGO. About your race there down in Sugarland, Texas, did you eventually get your name off the ballot? What's the status of that? Are they voting for you to get the other guy in, or did you manage to get that off the ballot?
No, I'm off the ballot. It's a write-in campaign, and I think she's going to win. I really do. It's probably the best climate that I've ever seen for a write-in campaign. The Liberal Democrat never caught on in the district. Actually moved 90 miles from his real home into the district, and he never really caught on, and she's done a very good job of educating people how to write in. So
have the Democrats been demonizing you or trying to in your own district, or are they still?
Yeah, absolutely.
So they've been throwing money at it, even though you got some challenges with that that particular individual is running against her.
Yeah, but it's not working. In fact, I think it's working against them, because 40 to 45% of my old district just love me and know what all this demonizing is about. And the more the Democrats talk about it, the madder the people that support me get. And they're going to the polls to write in Shelley Sekula Gibbs, frankly, in support of me.
It's a lot to write in, you know.
It is.
There's a lot of letters in that.
In Texas law, all you have to do is get something right. Either one of the three names right and it's counted.
So they kind of grade on a curve. Well, that's helpful.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good to know. So that's the lay of the land in terms of Tom DeLay's district here. With regard to the ethics question, you know, and so much of this gets touted, and I just, heaven forbid we get a Nancy Pelosi-led Congress at the House of Representatives. But, you know, all the talk about everything from investigating this or that to the I word that she says she won't do, pushing impeachment of Bush. But, you know, there's all kinds of stuff on the griddle that they're working on here. And they have always said, you know, well, we think that there should be more done, and why didn't Tom DeLay or Denny Hastert do more on this ethics issue? And, you know, the Republicans have never wanted to dig into that because they were afraid of what they'd find, or maybe just hoped it would go away. Do you have any regrets as to how the whole ethics thing was handled when you were in charge?
Well, the only regret I have, Mark, is the Republican conference allowed the Democrats to pick the Republican leader. They changed the rule that the Democrats don't have, and that is the leader has to temporarily step aside if he is indicted, to allow the Republicans to look at it and see if it indeed is a politically motivated effort. And in my case, it is a politically motivated effort. Has nothing to do with the law or the substance. And make a determination whether the leader needs to step aside or not. I think that was a legitimate modification of the rule. By the way, the Democrats promised to have the same kind of rule, but they never have followed through on it and passed it. Another lie by the Democrats. Mm. And they used it. That's the only regret I have. I wouldn't change anything. Yes, I was very aggressive in changing the culture of Washington, D.C. They hated that. Yes, I was very aggressive in raising money because I believe using money to elect people is important and is part of our process. Yes, I was very aggressive and passionate about passing the conservative agenda in through the House of Representatives. The Democrats didn't like that either. So, no, I wouldn't change a thing.
I think what you pointed out here earlier is so important among a lot of things that you've said, that when the Democrats are allowed to frame the message, much like they've done after 2000, and now I think every election, because of the disenfranchisement claims and, you know, oh, there was a voter irregularity, so we better go keep those polls open later. I know today, for example, in Tennessee, there are some lawyers going to court to keep the polls open late, you know, just trying to get different results, try to change what the rules are and expand this. When they've been allowed to frame that and become kind of public operating reality, I wonder if we're ever going to have just a normal election ever again without all these challenges.
I got to tell you, and one of the things I'm going to work real hard in the future is to try to get the courts out of politics and out of elections and out of redistricting. They never should be involved in a political operation. The Democrats have used the courts in many different ways to affect their own outcome. In my own particular case, the federal court would not allow the Republicans to replace me on the ballot for absolutely outrageous reasons.
Yeah.
And we just got to get the courts out of our electoral process. And that's what another part of the agenda that we really need to work hard on.
Amen. We'll talk more about this, of course, in the days and weeks ahead. More with Tom DeLay in just a minute here on News Radio 600 KOGO. Let's go to the News Center now, get the latest election update. Coverage continues here on Fox News and KOGO. News Radio 600 KOGO, Mark Larson live and local on KOGO. Of course, our election coverage continuing through the day and then wall-to-wall, 8 o'clock tonight from Election Central at Golden Hall. Roger Hitchcock, Cliff Albert, Phil Farrar, and a cast of thousands, literally. I will be in Los Angeles with the governor reporting from the big victory rally there, and maybe some victories that surprise even the left beyond the governor's race coming up, and we'll let you know all about that as the evening progresses here with the finest election coverage from Fox News and News Radio 600 KOGO. Tom DeLay, the former House Majority Leader, with us, talking to us from Texas, from his bunker right now, where the security bunker. Do you have a security detail with you, Tom? You just kind of go out there and just say, hey, listen, God will protect me. I'm not going to worry about all the threats.
Exactly right. I'm out there on my own. I even fly by myself.
Holy cow.
I just face it, and it's been great. Friendship and outpouring of support around the country has been wonderful.
Well, and again, what I find really interesting when people say, oh, you know Tom DeLay, and I guarantee after today I'll get emails from people saying, I can't believe you talked to him and you're nice to him, because they have just so bought into this demonization that has been out there. And even a lot of the people doing the demonizing know that what they're saying isn't true. That, you know, when I sit down with you like we did earlier this year at that Right to Life dinner in Washington, you know, you can't fake tranquility. You can't fake optimism. You can't fake that sort of thing. And again, I've seen you at times when, you know, you're not on stage and you're the same guy.
That's true. What you see is what you get.
Well, that's what it's about. And I know that some people now saying, okay, now he's getting into this foster care thing to provide quality foster care for children because it's lacking in this country. And, you know, some will give you what they gave our friend Chuck Colson, like, oh, you're just grabbing onto that to keep the heat off you. Fact is, foster care has been a big, big issue. Foster kids, a focus for you for a long time.
Well, my wife and I have been working with abused, neglected children for well over 15 years, and we've been foster parents ourselves. We never told anybody about it. It became visible when I became majority whip, majority leader, mm-hmm. And frankly, the left tried to undermine everything that we were trying to do with foster kids, using it to demonize me, of all things.
And here you weren't touting it at all. It was just something you're doing under the radar.
That's correct. We raised money and built a neighborhood called Rio Bend in Richmond, Texas, to house and to give foster kids a safe, permanent home, and that's the real, and it's faith based. We started doing that way before people even knew that we were involved in foster care.
So your vision, the vision that you have and your wife Christine and the people involved in Rio Bend, is to create a home and a community. You kind of get these kids out from bouncing around and being pawns, or, you know, ping pong balls or what have you.
Well, in many cases, the system, the government-run system, is more abusive to these children than the homes they were taken from. I mean, some kids are bounced around 20, 30, 40 times during their time in foster care. And each time a kid is pulled out of a foster home, they go through a grieving process as if their family has died. That creates scar tissue, and these children are turning out to be really tough, kids that can't trust anybody, incapable of loving. Many of them go into crime. Many of them go into prison. They need a safe, permanent place that loves them, wants to raise them, and gives them a home and stability so that they can become productive citizens.
Well, it's a great project. You can read about it on the website. It's RioBend.org, R-I-O, like river in Spanish, RioBend.org. There's all the mission and vision there, and it really is a great program, and again, something that you've been doing, as you said, for many, many years, you and your wife, and I just think it's very admirable, especially in the middle of all the heat you've experienced along the way. Well, let's hope that that things work out for the good guys tonight in terms of the national elections and all the important local races. Appreciate you checking in, as always, and the analysis you share is very insightful, Tom. Thank you much.
Well, thank you, Martin. Thank you for what you do.
All right. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
More coming up on News Radio 600 KOGO. Tom DeLay, former majority leader, with us here on News Radio 600 KOGO. And for those of you on the left, if you're thinking, oh, that's too conservative, Stephanie Miller from the far left, the loony bin. Okay, she's entertaining. She's coming up after the news on KOGO.